America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We had our guest on in the first hour of the show today. That was Dr. Behzad Yakmayan. He is the author of Embracing the Infidel, Stories of Muslim Migrants on the Journey West. That's a Delta Trade Paperbacks publication from 2006. He is also the author of Social Change in Iran, an eyewitness account of dissent, defiance, and new movements for rights. He is a professor of political economy at Ramapo College of New Jersey, and I first found Dr. Yakmayan through Tom Englehart of TomDispatch.com. And at TomDispatch.com, you can find Behzad Yakmayan's essay, How a CIA Coup d'Etat in Iran and My Life Became One. You know, in our interview with Dr. Yakmayan in the first hour of the show, he covered all kinds of points in the 60 minutes that we had to spend. And one of the things that comes forth most strongly in his conversation with me this morning is this Iranian perception that there is a dual personality to America, a dual personality to America as they perceive us. On the one hand, there is the bright side. The Iranian people perceive that in terms of Washington and Jefferson and Madison, even if they don't know those names, that there is something about the American persona that is the embodiment, historically anyway, of a great level of political and cultural and economic freedom. That side, that's the good news. The bad news is that there's also a very dark, even demonic side to what has become the dual personality of this country. The demonic side has everything to do with political interventionism abroad, the support of wars and covert operations, including assassinations abroad, that are totally, totally out of character in terms of the constitutional republic that we claim to be. And in that regard, of course, that side of America is seen throughout the world in extremely negative terms, draconianly negative terms. And as that perception continues to increase, this is going to be a problem for the world, and it's going to be a problem for us domestically as well. What's going to happen in this Iran situation? Will the bright side of the American personality historically emerge? Will we see a recommitment to the values of Washington and Jefferson and Madison? Or will we see the dark side become even darker in regard to the machinations of people like Wolfowitz and Pearl and Wormser? This, to me, is essentially the question that we confront as we talk about this Iran circumstance a little bit this morning. That's going to be a major, major question in the days ahead, not simply in regard to whatever degree of sorrow and tragedy we could potentially inflict upon the Middle East and on Iran and on the world, but the extent of the tragedy which our government would be inflicting upon our own people. I'm struck by this as I look at what is happening in this country in regard to these continued army rotations, in regard to the continued cannibalization of these National Guard units, and in regard to the increasing fear on the part of many Americans that their lives are going to be more directly affected by this Middle Eastern situation than what they could possibly have imagined when Mr. Bush declared that mission had been accomplished on May the 1st, 2003, when he landed on the USS Lincoln in his airplane. Quite clearly, the mission has not been accomplished unless we define the mission as one of creating complete horror and chaos and tragedy and genocide and conflagration in the Middle East, which threatens to spill over certainly to Iran and threatens to spill over to the entire Islamic world and ultimately will engulf Europe and North America and the rest of the globe as well. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. You can call me at 1-800-313-9443 today. Stay tuned.
Sit back. relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increased monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when they get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earningathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, there's several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Back. This is Mark Kent across America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were joined in the first hour of the show by Dr. Behzad Yakmayan of Iran, now of the United States. And he had a lot of things to say about the 1953 coup that the United States was involved with and that the British were involved with in that country. His life has been affected by the events of 1953, just as his life has been affected by the events of 1978 and 79 in Iran. And now, of course, he awaits, as the rest of us wait, the answer as to whether or not the United States is going to attack that country. There are all kinds of problems associated with that attack. We've been talking about it on this show ongoingly. Moral problems, constitutional problems, economic problems, and problems of political blowback if the U.S. government goes through with this thing. We'll see what happens, and in a short time this morning, I'm going to take a closer look at Dr. Yagmayan's piece for Tom Englehart's TomDispatch.com to give you, I think, a little bit of the flavor of the human dimension of this tragedy in regard to the Iranian expatriate community that has been most profoundly affected by this. Just imagine a situation where your own country's government had been overthrown by outsiders. Then imagine a situation where 25 years later, your own country was taken over by a group of people who ended up being as committed to the denial of your human rights as the previous regime. Imagine a life where you then had to go abroad and to work abroad to make a living and to survive and to potentially be apart from family members and friends. and then in the new host country to discover a quarter of a century after that, the host country was thinking of attacking your original home country in an action that could provoke a third world war. Can you imagine the level of nightmare that you would have? Dr. Yagmayan made reference to the fact that he has trouble sleeping over these matters. I can really identify with that because my life has not been, up to now, nearly as affected by these events as his own life has been, for all of the obvious reasons. And yet when we think of the pain and the tragedy of for the people in the Iran expatriate community, tragedy that is just beyond description, whether you're dealing with expatriates who are monarchs, who advocate a monarchy, or expatriates who believe in some form of secular and constitutional republic, the fact of the matter is that in all of these cases, these folks have been most dispossessed by all of these events going on in the Middle East. And to what extent does the government of the United States bear direct responsibility for the tragedy and the pain and the sorrow that has been inflicted upon these people? That's an ongoing question and one that I think we need to look into very, very seriously. The other question is this. The government that is inflicting pain upon all of these expatriates as a result of a misguided policy since 1953 is presumably the same government that is inflicting a lot of pain on the American population as well. Let's face it, folks, culturally, politically, economically, the American middle class has been losing steadily in the last 50 years. We see this most obviously, I think, in regard to the cultural declension in this land in the last 50 years. We see it most obviously in regard to what has happened to us economically, as the folks who want to give us a new world order are more than happy to destroy this country's previous identity and strength as a means of creating a new global order. That then brings us to this whole question of security and prosperity partnership for a North American Union. That brings us then to what we've been talking about in recent days and in regard to this truck out rally. Are the people of this country eventually going to stand up for something? I hope so. We stand upon the brink of a third world war. We stand upon the brink of a catastrophe that is simply beyond human description in terms of thousands, potentially millions of lives that would be lost or forever changed by such an event. We stand at the threshold of that type of a crossroad in world history. And yet, where are we? Where are we domestically? We continue to lose in regard to what has happened to the manufacturing sector of our economy. We continue to lose as more Americans who were once in the middle class find themselves dealing with service economy jobs on a massive scale. We continue to lose when we see that Americans who are working service economy jobs, by definition, have to go deeper and deeper and deeper into debt with their credit cards in order to survive in the short term, in order that they might in turn be destroyed economically in the long term by these interest rates. Who and what is responsible for that? And what is the American government doing about it? It seems to me that when it comes to our own government, be it Republican or Democrat, that it is just more of the same. And we have to ratchet up the level of our political knowledge and ratchet up the level of our political activity. You know, there are some of us, of course, who speak about these things or write about them. Mark Glenn and Mike Piper and myself come to mind just as a few of the people who deal with either RBN or FP or both who are engaged in those endeavors. But now it seems that folks like Frosty Wooldridge and Wanda Piatti are taking this understandably and legitimately to the next level in regard to some concrete political action, and that involves this truckout rally. The truckout rally continues. Take a look at this, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. You can find out more information about it at republicbroadcasting.org or at midtrucking.com. Or at Frosty Wooldridge's website on this at SaveAmericaFund.com, SaveAmericaFund.com. The fight of these truckers is your fight and mine. Are we going to continue to be trampled politically, economically, and culturally? That's the most pressing question for me in the days ahead. The government that acts irresponsibly abroad is the same government that inflicts pain and misery and suffering on its own people domestically. I think history is replete with examples of this. Quite clearly, this is another example of it, even as I speak. The government that wants to expand the tragedy of Palestine to Mesopotamia is the government that wants to expand the tragedy of Palestine and Mesopotamia to Persia. The same government that wants to expand this tragedy into Persia is the same government that is presumably unprepared for the political blowback that will occur from Somalia to Indonesia against one-third of the world's people if we do this thing in Iran. Are we really ready to fight one-third of the people on the face of this earth? And for what purpose and at the behest of whom? This is a compelling question. Just as we look at circumstances domestically, how many more of our rights are going to permit to go down the drain? Are we going to allow the Security and Prosperity Partnership for a North American Union destroy our economy? Are we going to allow Mexican truckers to wreak havoc upon American highways in terms of deaths and injuries? Are we going to be in a situation in coming days where we simply sit back and say, hey, I can't do anything about this. It's going to happen. I'm simply going to sit home and have a can of beer and watch baseball and the NBA playoffs and let the world go by. Folks, the window of opportunity is closing for us to do anything before we reach the absolute critical boiling mass. The opportunity for us to save this country is wasting and waning away. We need to act. We need to act now, and we need to act lawfully and responsibly while we can still do that in regard to the implementation of effective political and cultural change in this country. And when we start looking at this truckers' rally, I think that this is quite clearly one example among many of where average Americans still have the opportunity to contribute to the process in a way that is lawful, in a way that is nonviolent, and yet stands up in a way that our founding fathers did for this country over 200 years ago. Are we going to do that, or are we going to sit and watch as this country is destroyed and as the entire planet is potentially brought into a conflagration as a result of a neoconservative foreign policy that is designed, again, to bring war and havoc and misery and economic and political deprivation to millions of people at the behest of a few? This is truly a question of the elite versus the mass, potentially. This is certainly a question of an elitist, globalist-oriented group of individuals who want absolute political and economic and cultural power at the expense of you and me. We're going to allow that to happen? If we sit by and watch much longer, it's going to happen, and of course it is happening. And right forces have been losing for quite some period of time now. But in regard to this war in the Middle East, I would suggest that this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. You ready to fight a world war, folks? I want you to take a long look at that son or daughter that's across the table from you at breakfast or lunch or dinner. I want you to think about those grandkids that are in college right now or in some phase of their lives in trade school or elsewhere. I want you to think about the fine young men and women who signed up for the American military in order that they might be a part they believe to be a larger and honorable mission. Is that mission truly to protect the Constitution of the United States? Or are these kids, and for that matter the rest of us, caught up in something that we really haven't stood up to this point? That's a compelling question. And that compelling question, as well as many other compelling questions, are not going to go away by simply watching the NBA playoffs in coming days and pretending that this isn't happening. It's happening, folks. And this nation of ours may have less than 5 years to survive in any form as the republic that it has been unless you and I do something. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'll take a look at Dr. Yogmayan's article when we come back. Stay tuned.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world is a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More Decor is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at StovesAndMoreOnline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd buy it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-0017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been a global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Mark Dan Pops America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were joined in the first hour of the show by Dr. Behzad Yakmayan, who was discussing an essay that he wrote for Tom Englehart at tomdispatch.com. And that essay is entitled, How a CIA Coup d'Etat in Iran and My Life Became One. And of course, Dr. Yakmayan, as I mentioned earlier on the show, is the author of Embracing the Infidel, Stories of Muslim Migrants on the Journey West. That's a Delta Trade paperback publication of 2006. He's also the author of Social Change in Iran, an eyewitness account of dissent, defiance, and new movements for rights. He's a professor of political economy at Ramapo College of New Jersey. You know, in that hour that I had with Behzad, he said all kinds of things that we could have spent hours discussing. I hope he can come back sometime and expand upon the wisdom that he bequeathed to us in the 1 hour that he could spend. One of the interesting things that he said in this interview, I don't know for those of you who heard it, if you picked up on it, but I found it to be a fascinating concept, and it's this. He, of course, was profoundly impacted by the 1953 coup in that country, which the CIA sponsored. He was profoundly impacted by the 1978-79 Islamic Revolution in Iran that eventually caused him to have to leave the land of his birth. He now awaits with bated breath whether or not his host country is going to attack his original home country in an act of complete political and moral and military insanity, in my judgment. But suffice it to say that in that context, Dr. Yakmayan talked about the possibility of having to find yet another home, along with other Iranian expatriates, having to find another home if the United States and Iran go to war. You know, as he was talking, and I felt very sad listening to all of this, because I am an American, and when the government of our country acts in a way that is not consonant with the true interests of people either abroad or at home, I think that it's my responsibility to say something about it responsibly. But in this particular juncture, thinking about what this all has meant in his life, that he would yet face another relocation and another dislocation to somewhere else, a destination yet unknown, with circumstances and economic opportunities yet unknown, it begs the question as to how many of the rest of us might eventually face that same choice. Have you ever thought about 99% of you, presumably, who listen to this show are patriotic Americans in the best of the word. You're not Bush neocons. You're not supporters of the worst excesses of corporate America. You're not globalists. Or you probably wouldn't be listening to this network except to monitor the whole thing for sinister purposes, presumably. So if you are an American patriot, if you love our Constitution, if you love constitutional liberty, if you think political and cultural and religious liberty all go hand in hand as our founding fathers did, and you're committed to that in the same way that we are here at RBN, what would you do if what happened in Iran ended up happening here? What if we truly moved to the next level in our movement toward police state involvements at home? Now, of course, we've talked a lot about the USA Patriot Act 1 and 2. We've spoken a great deal in recent times about the Militarizations Act of 2006. We have followed the Dr. Sami Alarian trial to some extent and its aftermath as he is presently languishing in a federal detention center in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. We've looked a little bit at the Jose Padilla case and most ominously at the statements of a federal judge that in her view, as she was saying something about the Padilla case, that the Pentagon, in her view, has the right to declare anyone as a hostile military combatant or as a military combatant or an unlawful combatant, and then to have them incarcerated, put in federal detention with the writ of habeas corpus denied to them, merely at the stroke of a pen. The Pentagon, according to this federal judge, can do that. That obviously is clearly unconstitutional. And clearly, if that policy is not clarified in regard to the Constitution of our nation, we could see that sort of thing being applied in coming weeks and months, years, to responsible American patriots who believe in the Constitution, who do not support globalism, who do not support unconstitutional wars abroad, and who believe, aside from constitutional parameters, that the central state should have absolutely no authority in theirs whatsoever, aside from those things that are specifically described in the enumerated powers of our Constitution. Does that describe you? Certainly describes me. And as we think about it, what if we found ourselves suddenly in a situation where instead of having political liberties going out the door and out the window on an incremental basis, we suddenly faced a circumstance where there was a declaration of martial law and a declaration that certain kinds of people were going to be held in detention in perpetuity with the writ of habeas corpus denied to them. What would you do? Where would you go if you could? If you've got an idea, give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. This is Mark Danhaus, America, coming to you from RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense to God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back at history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed alter. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Mark Anthony's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today was on in the first hour of the show, Dr. Behzad Yagmayan. Shortly, I'm going to be looking at his article for Tom Englehart's TomDispatch.com to put into perspective what he was chatting with us about in that first hour. A couple of volumes, which I have mentioned several times on the show today, that I really think you need to take a look at in conjunction with Dr. Yagmayan's piece for Tom Englehart. One is Stephen Kinzer's book, All the Shah's Men, An American Coup and the Roots of Middle East Terror, that is a Wiley publication. The other is the American Free Press volume entitled The CIA in Iran, the 1953 Coup and the Origins of the U.S.-Iran Divide. If you don't already subscribe to the American Free Press, if you don't already own this book on what the CIA did in Iran in 1953, I would really urge you to go to 1-888-699-NEWS, 1-888-699-NEWS, and there you can subscribe to AFP and can also avail yourself of not only this very fine book on Iran, but a series of other publications that AFP puts out, including some of the books by RBN's own Michael Collins Piper. Again, that AFP telephone number is 1-888-699-NEWS. You know, among the many things that Dr. Yagmayan talked about with us in this first hour, of course, we were chatting about just before the break, and that is this idea that maybe, just maybe, he will have to, along with many other Iranian expatriates, find yet another place to live in the world. He describes the Iranian expatriate community as very nomadic. These are folks who have been with homeland. The events of 1953 and the events of 1978 and 79 and the events that continue to unfold in what could be an American preemptive military attack on that country at the behest of Jewish neoconservatives is something that, if it does happen, will undoubtedly cause many of these people, including Dr. Yagmayan, to yet attempt another try at establishing their lives somewhere, rebuilding their lives again somewhere else, trying to recover any semblance of life at a later stage of life, picking up all of the personal and professional and family pieces once more, and trying to put it all back together again. That's not only a sobering thought for him, and a sobering thought that the policies of our own government may have something to do with the inflicting of that tragedy in his life, in the lives of some of these other Iranian expatriates. But again, envision what we talked about before the last break. You're an American. If you're sitting out there listening to this, let's presume that you believe in constitutional government according to the original intent of the writers and framers of the Constitution of this country. Let's assume that you're a nationalist, that you do not subscribe to the globalist theories of the CFR and the Trilateral Commission. Let's say that you're sitting at home and are fed up with the Israeli lobby. You're fed up with AIPAC's controlled American political process. You're fed up with crooked politicians that have sold their nationalistic and constitutional heritage for a mess of personal pottage. Let's say that you're fed up with the idea that American men and women should be dying in circumstances that do not truly relate to the Constitution of this country or to our true national security interest. Let's say that you're losing economically, that you're on a fixed income, or that you, like some of these truckers, are involved in a livelihood that is slowly being squeezed dry by the deliberate attempts of the globalists who run nation's government to create a new economic entity that will be in the interest of a handful of people, but will not represent the interest of the American people as a whole. If you're in that category, what would you do if things suddenly got so bad that you had to flee, that like Dr. Yamayan, you had to consider being an expatriate somewhere? Where would you go? What land would you choose and why? That's a fascinating idea, isn't it? Number of people on American right to informally chat with me on a confidential basis and say to me, you know, I don't like what's happening in this country, and boy, I don't know where I'd go, but if there's a place to go to get away from this, I'd sure take my wife and kids there. Where would we? If you've got an idea, give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. Mike in Maryland, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, thank you very much. The irony of your guest, I didn't catch all the interview, but is quite stark. You know, here he's seen his own country ravaged by the depredations of the CIA, and then he comes here to escape the Shah and everything that goes with it, and now we stand poised, God forbid, to attack his own country. And you talk about a quandary. You know, I just really feel for the guy. I'm a member of DC911Truth.org. We got a really great group. I try to help out. We got people in that group like Matt Sullivan and others that do more in one day than I do in a month sometimes. So it's a really great bunch of people. We have an Iranian, a former Iranian citizen, I think, who is a member of a group. And you can see the worry in his eyes and the tension sometimes over the prospect. And so 9/11 truth and everything that we're trying to expose about the New World Order, for somebody like him, has to have a special poignancy. He's a really nice guy, and I really feel for him.
Well, you know, Mike, as we talk about this, I do too, and I feel for him not simply because, like you, I'm a decent human being, but when I think of my own government inflicting this kind of pain on people, in this case, speaking of foreign expatriates, it makes my blood boil. And yet when we ratchet this thing to the next level, it seems to me that a lot of this pain is slowly but surely being inflicted upon ourselves as well. And, you know, you think of the tremendous political and economic freedoms and that we've lost in recent years. You think of the cultural declension. And then you just contemplate more and more of these American kids being sent off to this mess in the Middle East. I see it every day in San Antonio. This is a military town. You've got the Army and the Air Force all over the place here. And I'm always seeing these some of these people connected to the military in my apartment complex in their uniforms packing it up to go somewhere. And about 9 times out of 10 when I talk to them and I say, hey, where are you going? I'll say, well, Pastor, I'm on my way to Baghdad. That really hits me in the solar plexus because I think, you know, here's yet another life, another person standing right in front of me. This isn't somebody I'm reading about in a magazine at this point. They're standing in front of me. They're getting ready to be a part of this. And it just gets
for me. What?
For what? Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And you know, exactly. And you've identified it, Mike, for what? I mean, to me, if I was in a situation where I'm looking at one of these young men or women and I don't have children, But I have a nephew and three nieces. They're all beautiful kids. They're responsible kids. They've all done a lot with their lives, and they help other people in their respective professions. If I thought that one of these kids, God forbid, or all of them, were going to be shipped out for something that involved war, I could live with that, I think, if I really thought that the cause was right and that the war was simply unavoidable. You know, I am not a pacifist, and yet I look at this situation in the Middle East much as I did as a young person when all this stuff was going on in Southeast Asia and South Vietnam. I think, you know, what is really going on here? What's really behind this? And is this necessary? And if it isn't necessary, then you have to spend a lifetime dealing with the fact that, gee, we lost all these beautiful, beautiful, fine people that got caught up in this thing and for absolutely nothing.
It's total, complete insanity. And early in the program, you did a really great job succinctly putting into perspective our foreign policy and the implications of it, and how it's affected us now and it's going to affect us in the future. I did a term paper in college in the early 80s about the overthrow of Mossadegh. And so I've been aware of that for a long time. And through alternative media, I've come to the conclusion that not everybody in our government, but certain criminal elements within our government are just totally evil and responsible for supporting and propping up various dictators, communists, fascists, you name it, as long as they keep the lower classes downtrodden, so the global corporations can basically take advantage of them. And I can only refer to Smedley Butler, War is a Racket. The guy flat out in this short little book more or less says that that our American military intelligence communities were being used to strong arm third world countries to keep them subservient to American corporations. And this is a two-star general who went to a Medals of Honor.
Yeah, he was a Marine, correct?
That's right.
Yes.
And then he wrote that back in maybe the late 20s or the 30s. So you can't get to a more sterling example of patriotism than that, who has such really stinging criticism of our foreign policy.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Mike. And to me, bringing Smedley Butler into this conversation is entirely appropriate, because I think Smedley is a microcosm of what has to be a much larger problem today in the American military. You know, when we think of these fine enlisted men and the fine officers, there are some bums too, obviously, but there are some fine people in the American military who undoubtedly by this time have figured out what you and I have figured out, and that is that this thing is a mess, that we should not have been involved, that we were sold a bill of goods, and that among those, of course, who sold us the bill of goods is Mr. Wolfowitz up there at the World Bank. And as you think through this whole thing, I can't imagine what it must be like to be a legit military man or woman committed presumably to the highest ideals in regard to that you go into the military, and I'm speaking of the good ones now. And then you're in a circumstance where suddenly you're in the command and control structure of the military, which, of course, has a lot of implications for your ability to speak your mind. And you suddenly discover that, hey, something I've committed my life to that is involved in life and death issues has been sold to me under false pretenses, and I'm now witnessing people die for something that is morally dubious, and I might even die myself as a result of it. I can't imagine the sort of internal dissonance that has to produce in some of the really good military men and women that we've got.
Yeah, and I think some of the retired generals that went standing against Iraq, you know, is indications of that. And they're probably, I just wish, I don't, you know, I went to Lafayette Park yesterday because I thought that there's going might be some truckers there, people demonstrating for the North American, you know, against the truckers, you know, from Mexico coming in. But there's nobody. But I managed to use that as an opportunity to distribute 9/11 literature. And I was wearing my 9/11 was an inside job RB and Live T-shirt. And I don't care what people think anymore. And I was in Metro, and some people occasionally would ask me a question about it. And there was a guy there in his uniform said, "Are you going to Iraq?" And he said, "No." He says, "Do you realize that we're fighting for Israel? That we're fighting for Halliburton?" He says, "No, I don't think so, sir. I don't think so, sir." Do you know that you know, that after the war is over, you'd be kicked curb by a government that doesn't care about you. No, I don't believe that. So it was just yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, you know, no, sir. You know, it's just the guy is utterly clueless, and I tried not to bust his chops too much, but I tried to explain to him that you're not fighting for what you think you are, and people are so programmed to believe government propaganda, corporate propaganda, that they can't see the forest for the trees.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Mike, and having grown up in the Air Force, you know, I think I understand a little bit about the military culture that sometimes produces the kind of thinking that you encountered in Lafayette Park yesterday. And, you know, when I examine this myself, I go back to when I was a much younger person. And in those days, you know, I was the typical, Bill Buckley human events type of conservative, I would suppose. And when if someone had suggested to me that certain things were true, my first reaction would have been, well, this person must hate America, or this person must be a communist or some other type of subversive merely to suggest such a thing. And I know that Lopkins had that initial reaction to Mark Lane when he wrote his expose, Rush to Judgment, on the Kennedy assassination 3 years after the fact. And, you know, to me, you're putting your finger on the pulse of something that's absolutely essential here. And that is that, you know, in the true American spirit, we need to evaluate people's arguments. If someone presents me with compelling evidence that something is true, and it's well argued and well documented, and their credentials are good, even if it is a revolutionary idea, so to speak, in overthrowing all of my previous assumptions about a particular subject, it is my duty as a thinking person, it is my duty as an American who is a thinking person, presumably, to evaluate that information to the best of my ability. And I think a lot of times some of the folks that are in the American military, and they're certainly intelligent people, but the whole culture of the American military, it seems to me, breeds a sense of groupthink and mission that makes individual thought sometimes subordinated to second or third place in regard to, say, some of the issues that you would raise.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, you have to do that to a certain extent, except for military discipline. But it doesn't mean that you put your thoughts or beliefs or your discernment on hold. And I started out as a 9/11 truther. And I'm kind of branching off into other areas. I consider myself a warrior against the New World Order. And I ostensibly got into this to prove three things: either a civil war, a violent revolution, or us becoming a third world police state. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to have one of those, because if you look at the complacency and the boil the frog syndrome, it may sound pessimistic. I think we're going to have either one of those or a combination of those three. And maybe if we're split up into half dozen different countries, maybe one day we may be able to coalesce again to a united nation again. I don't know. But I think, war or revolution or a third world police state, none of those are very palatable prospects. But I think it's going to be extremely difficult for us, if not impossible, to avoid one of those scenarios.
Well, let's take each of those scenarios, Mike, which you've postulated here, all of which I think are frighteningly possible. If you're out of time, stay on the line. Let's chat about this a little bit. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Behzad Yakmayan was my guest in the first hour of the show. We have a caller from Maryland who's making a lot of sense today. Let's hope we can continue chatting with him when we come back. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you the freedom from the systems old and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your rations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
We're back. This is Mark Hancock, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Behzad Yagmayan was my guest in the first hour of the show, talking about Iran and things related to that country, what has happened and what may happen there. We have a caller from Maryland, Mike. We're going to have some frequent interruptions in the next 10 minutes, but I hope you can stay with us ahead of those three options. You were speaking about civil war, revolution, or third world state. Let's take the first one, civil war. How do you think that would unfold if it happened?
Well, with the 30 to 40 million illegal immigrants that are pouring into this country, and with the division, with the various other divisions along ethnic and maybe religious lines, and laws, and with the global corporations supporting the breakup of this country, it's very likely that you could see a division in this country where the Southwest breaks away, and maybe if we have an economic collapse. Which I'm sure you have to realize we're going to have a depression in this country. And there's no way that we can avoid it. If you listen to Robert Chapman on the internationalforecaster.com and Pat Kiley, these gentlemen really, they take economics, but they take it and they integrate it with the current events. It's really fascinating to listen to these gentlemen. But there's once the economic collapse occur, almost anything can happen. So we... you could see foreign troops brought in to restore order, and once that happens, you know, all kinds of internecine possibilities could happen.
And, yes.
You know, so I don't even think they necessarily have to, the New World Order has to nuke a few cities, although they could do that as well. I think Iraq could very well be the template for this country. I think with the chaos, order out of chaos, they could let us stew in our own juices, like look what happened to Iraq for 10 years, where we had the initial war, bombed the infrastructure was ruined, a million-plus children die, and who knows how many others die, and then we just stew in their own juices for a while, and then we come back for the big KO, And now, you know, the Zionists and the international banksters control Iraq, divvying up the resources. I think the same thing could happen here.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Mike. And the scenario to me is so plausible that it's absolutely terrifying. I think for people who might be listening to this and who might be thinking, gee, this sounds like something out of the realm of sci-fi, are not paying too much attention to what is actually happening politically and economically in this country just as we speak.
Sure. We have to have a realistic assessment. And if we can't even get people to contact their congressman or, you know, to have a proactive stance against what's happening, then the possibility of a revolution, I think, is pretty remote. And then we could have a scenario where they boil the frog, where they slowly take away our rights, slowly dumb us down, and slowly denigrate our economy to where people are like a bunch of seagulls fighting over fry for whatever scraps we can get.
Yeah, let's talk about that third contingency, Mike, if you've got a second when I come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Behzad Yakman was my guest in the first hour of the show. Mike from Maryland is a very interesting caller. I hope he's able to stay with us for a little bit while longer. Stay tuned.